What are people up to in town? Find out on Out There Wednesday afternoons from 4 to 5 on Valley Free Radio for live encounters from the streets and paths of Northampton and beyond. We don't care if we live out of date. We don't care if we're a little bit late. Gonna make a scene, baby, me and you. On my rocking bicycle that's built for two. And thanks for tuning in to Out There today. It is Wednesday, September 4th, says the calendar. I have a live guest with me in the studio today, Kala Garrido. Did I say your name right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And Kala is a sophomore at Hampshire Regional High School and is also an organizer of the September 20th Boston Climate Strike and the Sunrise Northampton representative. Thanks a lot for coming in today.
Yeah.
How's your day going so far?
It's been pretty good.
Yeah.
Just a good old day of high school.
Yeah, your second week or beginning of the half of a... when did school start?
It's only my second day of school.
Second day.
Yeah.
Okay. New classes, new people.
New teachers. No new people, yeah. But I'm getting to meet all my teachers and I'm having a good time.
Same old climate? New climate?
Well, climate's progressively getting worse, but...
Actually, I'm going to remind you, talk close to the mic. They say, yes. Act like you're eating the mic. So, fortunately, I invited a guest who is well-prepared as compared to me. This is great. So, Kala, can you just tell us a little bit about, like, what you got there on the sheet? Help me out here.
So, we are striking on September 20th in Boston. We're following the lead of Greta Thunberg. Who started school striking every single Friday in Sweden and started the movement Fridays for the Future and called upon everyone for a global strike on September 20th. So this is a global movement, a global moment, and it's kicking off a week of climate action, and it's led by young people. For Boston, we're all under the age of 20. The strike schedule on the day of September 20th is from 10 to 11:30. We'll have community events at the Boston City Hall Plaza. We'll have art activities, partner organization tabling. We have 20-plus partner organizations. Sign making, community mural, and art wall.
Wow.
And then from 11:30 to 1 p.m., there'll be the main rally at City Hall Plaza with dancing, songs, bands, and slam poetry. And then from 1 to 1:30, we'll march to the Massachusetts State House. And then from 1:30 to 2:30, there'll be an action there.
So there's youth from all over Massachusetts planning this big convergence?
Yes.
Wow. So how if people want to go, are there buses being organized or something? Or how is that?
Yes. We are fundraising for getting buses to bring youth from Western Mass to Boston for free. We have a donation page and a website. Yes. Our website that you can go to is linktr.ee/Boston Strike. And from there, we have access to like our website, our donation page, our teacher support and student ambassador signups, our Western Mass bus sign-up sheet, and we have like toolkits and resources for the strike.
That's awesome. We'll get into more detail about that. I'm really curious though, like how you came, like how did you get passionate about this, or how did you come to be so engaged or have so many connections to work these connections to be able to organize this thing that's happening?
I don't remember the exact moment I got into politics or into environmental activism, because it just feels like my human duty. Like, as a person living on this earth, it is my job to help protect this earth. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like, I don't have like some story of like, oh, this is the moment. It was mm-hmm. like, I'm here, so this is what I need to do. Mm-hmm.
Did you, in your household growing up, what kind of messages did you get along those lines?
My family is very liberal and very in the know. They are also very passionate about protecting our Earth and fighting against climate change.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of things have you or your family been involved in before?
Honestly, not that much. This is my first time doing something like this, organizing a strike. I've never done this before, but it's been a wonderful experience. And I got into it. I was not expecting to come down this path, but one day I was scrolling through Instagram and I found a sign up to be a leader of the strike. And I just filled out this application and they got back to me. And then I just came into all of this, and it's been a wonderful experience.
Wow. That's cool. Do you remember when you first heard of Greta Thunberg?
I first heard of Greta maybe like 6 months ago or so. I'm not quite sure exactly when I first heard of her, but I've had many experiences listening to her speeches and then crying and just letting out grief. And she's just a wonderful speaker, and I look up to her a lot.
Mm-hmm. For listeners who might not know, can you tell people a little bit more about who she is or what she's doing?
Greta Thunberg is a Swedish climate activist. She is also youth. I think she's 16 or 17.
Yeah, last I heard.
And she started out striking in front of the Swedish parliament a little over a year ago, and in the weeks before the Swedish election, she would strike every single day, but then after that she had been striking every single Friday for the climate.
Mm-hmm. By striking, you mean
she skips school
And then going to a public place to
share
and the message.
And students all over the world have joined her.
Yeah. What do you think it is about her or this movement that's so inspiring? It's amazing that it's become a global movement like this.
I'd like to talk a little bit about why we're striking, if that's okay.
Yes, please.
We're striking because science says that we have just a few years to transform energy systems, reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and prevent the worst effects of climate change. And world leaders have yet to properly acknowledge and prioritize the climate crisis. Marginalized communities, such as communities of colored and disabled peoples, have been disproportionately impacted. And by disrupting the social order, we force the system to change and face the climate crisis. We are also striking for a Green New Deal, which will bring a fair and just transition to 100% renewable economy and end the creation of more fossil fuel infrastructure.
Wait, the creation of more fossil fuel?
It'll end.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Cool.
And we want to call on the U.S. government to call this a national emergency because we are running out of time.
Yeah. Cool. So you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm talking with Kala Garrido, who's a sophomore at Hampshire Regional High School and an organizer of the September 20th Boston Climate Strike and Sunrise Northampton representative. We'll come back with more of that, but I'm going to continue with this song that Kala just mentioned to me. Whoa, here it goes. This is Willow Smith with Wait a Minute. Wait a Minute.
Diamond.
This is Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. My guest today is Carla Garrido, who is the organizer of the September 20th Boston Climate Strike and other things. So glad you're here in the studio. I'm glad, so grateful for the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
Very exciting. I was just looking during the song on at the Climate Action Now Western Mass site of some events coming up locally. Which there's going to be a forum on September 11th and September 12th, Northampton City Council candidate forums on climate and the environment. My housemate Alex Jarrett's running for a fifth ward city council, and so I know he's going to be in one of these forums. And so, yeah, so these forums will be held to give constituents a chance to hear from the city council candidates on climate and environmental issues. Where are they? Northampton Senior Center at 67 Conn Street. I guess Ward 1 and Ward 2 are on September 11th, and Wards 5 and 7 are on September 12th. Aren't there some other wards in the city? Oh, maybe the races are, I don't know. Well, anyway, they're in the evening, 6:30 at each one. You can go to the Climate Action Now Western Mass website for more information about that. So Carla, some people that, I've talked to, the focus is really on trying to get people to Boston. That's like the real thing. There's some things going on locally for people who just can't make it, but why so much focus on like on Boston or, yeah.
We're trying to, congregate as many people in one place as possible so we can show the leaders of our state. So we're going to the state house for our action. We can show the leaders of the state how much we care and how many people are passionate about this. And if you are unable to go to Boston, I definitely encourage you to go to one of these other events being planned more locally. But if there's any way you can go to Boston, we really want to encourage people to go there.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's great that you're going inside the hall of the people's house. That's cool. So can you tell me a little bit more about what's going on with, like, the teachers and the students? Wait, the note here says.
So we wanted to get as many students involved in this as possible, because I know many people in my generation are very passionate about the climate. And one part of that is the fact that it's hard for students to miss school sometimes. And in order to make it possible for as many students to strike as want to, we have reached out to different organizations like the MTA, which is the Massachusetts Teacher Association, and the Union for Many Teachers in Massachusetts. And they have actually voted to support students striking. Yeah. So that way, hopefully teachers who want to, they don't feel as if they can't support their students because of some legal reason, or like their union won't allow them because the union has actually endorsed our strike. And teachers are able to sign up to help support us and to spread the word to their students. And we have resources for them to tell their students and give to their students. And for students, we are trying to get as many student ambassadors as we can from different schools all around Massachusetts. So that way we can't do everything. We're not a very big group of people organizing the strike. But the more students we can get on board to bring this strike to their school, then they can spread the word around their peers and to other teachers and gain more support. And in order to sign up to do this, yet again, we can go to our website, Linktree, linktr.ee/BostonStrike. That has our website, our donation page, our teacher support sign up, our student ambassador sign up, our bus, Western Mass bus sign up. And it has toolkits and resources that can be used to for students to talk about the strike to their administrations, and for teachers to talk about the strike with their students. Yeah, we're very excited.
So are the teachers like allowed to strike? I don't know what allowed means. Like, anyone's allowed to make their choice.
Teachers are not allowed to strike.
I mean,
there's all this legal advice the MTA has put out to teachers. Yeah. I have not read through all of it because I do not understand a lot of it. Yeah. But there are a very specific set of rules teachers have to follow as not to break their union.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. I wonder if it kind of depends on the administration, individual administration.
Yeah, one thing we're working on is if schools want to cancel, that would be very helpful. Because if one school in the area cancels, then it can inspire other administrations to do the same. So if a lot of students in one school all want to go to the strike, then they can come to the administration and be like, there's going to be so many people gone, we might as well cancel school. And that would be wonderful. Another thing is, I know some schools are trying to get a field trip to Boston, and that way they can get their own busing and transport as many people as possible.
Uh-huh. Right. Student schools take field trips.
Yeah.
So perfect time and place.
And this is a good reason to.
Yeah. Do you know of any schools that are closed? I bet there's probably some like charter schools or private schools or like little small schools, alternative schools or something.
Yeah, there are. I don't know their names specifically. I think it's more possible for smaller, more private schools to do that, as it's hard with public schools because of like the required amount of days of school we need to have and all of that.
Well, maybe it'll snow on September 20th and it'll be a snow day.
Wouldn't that be convenient?
Be careful what we wish for. So do you have any idea how many high schools, is this all high school students or some like middle school, like younger students too doing organizing? Do you know?
There are middle schoolers definitely involved in this. Uh-huh. There are more parental concerns the younger we get. But there are middle schoolers involved, there are high schoolers involved, there are college students involved. There are plenty of adult allies involved. It's a very wide age range.
Do you have any idea like how many high schools or schools in Massachusetts have representatives that are participating and organizing?
Oh boy. I mean, it must be 20, 30. I'm not quite sure, honestly. Yeah. This is embarrassing, but
That's okay.
There's a large number.
So what kind of communication are you using to organize? What do you have, like meetings in the same place? Or is it through electronic media or what?
There are a lot of Zoom calls.
Okay.
So many Zoom calls, especially because a lot of us live in different parts of Massachusetts, which can be up to 3 hours away. So we do most of our conversations and our planning over Slack and Zoom calls. For the people in the local area, we can have in-person meetings. Like, we have meetings in Sunrise, Northampton, where we focus on the strike. Also, we go to different other meetings for other organizations, like Climate Action Now, so we can spread the word that way, because a lot of our partner organizations are very, they're already, like, organizations that are fighting for climate justice. Mm-hmm. And by bringing a youth representative in, it can have a really big impact. So, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Let's play. I'm going to play Buffy St. Marie. And then we'll come back for more with Kala. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ LP 103.3 FM in Northampton.
You're slick, you investors in hate, you Saddams and you Bushes, you Bin Ladens and snakes, you billionaire bullies, you a globalized curse, you put war on the masses and then you clean out the purse, and that's how it's done, war after war, you old feudal parasites, you just sacrifice the poor. You got the cutting edge weapons, but your scam's still the same as it's been since the Romans. Yo, it's the Patriot game. Yo, that's the war racket. It's the war racket. It's the war racket. It's the war racket. You twisters of language, you creeps of disguise, yeah, disinformation. It's like worms in your eyes. You privileged bankers. You gambler thieves. You profit on war. You think it's just less money in peace. So that's how it's done. Time after time. Country after country. And crime after crime. You pretend it's religion. Like there's no one to blame. For the dead and impoverished. In your little patriot game. Honey, that's the war racket. That's the war racket. That's the war racket. That's the war racket. You got the world's greatest power. And you team up with thugs. Make a fortune on weapons. Destruction and drugs. But your flags and boots and uniforms, they start to all smell the same. When all sides are killing in the Patriot game. And that's how it's done. And you've got our sons in the crosshairs of horror at the end of your guns. And your national anthems, they start to all smell like shame. When all sides are dying in the Patriot game. It's just a war racket. 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 And war is never, never holy. It's just a greedy man's dream. And you two-faced crusaders, both sides are obscene. War is not made by God. War is just made by men who misdirect our attention while you thieves do your thing. And that's how it's done. About every 30 years, the rich fill their coffers, the poor fill with tears, the young fill the coffins, the old hang a wreath, the politicians get photographed with their names underneath. It's the war racket. Yeah, it's the war racket. It's the war racket. That's the war racket. It's the war racket. That's the war racket. That's the war racket. That's the war racket.
Thanks to Buffy St. Marie for it, telling it like it is. I was thinking, so I've seen ads for the Marines on PBTA buses, and then like watching the fighter jets fly overhead. I've noticed that a lot lately. And just thinking about how we get desensitized, you know, we accept as normal the war games, and they go to defend our lifestyles. Games, I wouldn't call it games, but And then I'm also remembering one of the common pictures, one of the pictures that I've seen of Frances Crowe that's on, I don't know, maybe it was in the newspaper when they announced her death last week. I think she was holding a sign that says, "War is the biggest polluter." There's this book called The Green Zone that talks about how the U.S. military pumps out so much pollution. It just dwarfs like all the residential pollution and all that in terms of climate change and things driving climate change. So you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm Ruthie Woodring, and my guest here today is Carla Garrido, an organizer of the Boston Climate Strike coming up on September 20th, also a sophomore at Hampshire Regional High School and a Sunrise Northampton representative. Carla, we were talking, what were we talking about? I wanted to, oh yeah, you had said we were talking about Greta Thunberg, and I wanted to ask you, like, what parts of climate change make you most motivated or touch you most? You had mentioned, like, seeing some of her talks or listening to some of her talks and crying. What really motivates you or touches you?
In terms of Greta, I think it's interesting because that you were talking about desensitization. Gosh,
we know what you mean.
English. Anyway, yeah, I think it's so easy to feel like climate change is just far off in the distance and that it doesn't affect us now, because I live a very privileged lifestyle. I don't wake up every day and like notice these things going on and I'm like, oh, like I'm dying because of climate change.
Right. We got
it's not
food.
Like that.
Yeah. We got food on the table every day.
Yeah.
And the trees are still green around us.
So in Greta's speeches, she reminds us that we need to panic. Uh-huh. And that species and people are dying every day. Thousands of species are dying already. And people are already dying because of climate change. And I don't know what strikes me the most about climate change or what affects me the most. It's just everything, but it's just such a huge problem, and where we're going is almost like unimaginable. Like I don't even know how to explain it. It's just it affects everything on earth, everything we know, everything I'd want my children to enjoy or their children to enjoy. I don't know if it'll exist on the route we're going.
How do you it's a big problem, right? So how do you keep from being like, oh, it's just too much, I can't do anything?
I think it's common for people to just want to like push it out of their minds, push it aside, because for a lot of people it's not affecting them every day, and it's such a huge issue that can be really painful to have to try to deal with. But I just put my energy into trying to find a solution. So by working like by being an activist and trying to fight for change, that helps me feel like I'm doing something to help the problem instead of just sitting back and watching it happen or just wanting to push it out of my mind. Instead, I just embrace it because it's happening and try to change it.
Yeah, I mean, like fighting for something is critical to our mental health and physical health and everything, I feel like.
I agree.
Well, so I'm a trash hauler with pedal people, and I think about climate change, or the thing that I notice is like trash, consumerism, how I see it driving climate change and destruction of the planet. And one of the things that I found in the trash this week, oh my gosh, this is a new low for me and consumer products. So I was emptying downtown trash barrels, and in one of the recycling bins, well, it's not recyclable, that's beside the point, but it was this plastic, not quite a plastic cup, it's shaped like a light bulb, maybe 6 inches tall, clear plastic, and some restaurant downtown serves bubble tea in it, and the top of the light bulb
kind of thing. You put a big straw in there, big enough to slurp up the gobbly, the
boba?
Boba, whatever it is, the tapioca starch gummy balls, which so often people don't eat those. That would be like, that would be my favorite thing if I was going to have some bubble tea. Anyway, so, but not only, so I've seen those light bulb shaped plastic, like one use plastic cup kind of things. They're actually thicker than plastic cups, which kind of bums me out. As far as I know, they're not recyclable. But they're even thicker plastic than the one-use plastic cups. But, okay, so here's the kicker. It wasn't just this disposable drink thing. In the bottom of the bulby thing, it was embedded in the molded plastic. Three little button cell batteries, you know, lithium batteries, and they were powering these three tiny LED lights. I guess so your drink would light up. And the thing was going, I think, when did I find it? Monday morning when I was doing downtown trash. And I pulled it aside. I'm like, I don't know what restaurant this came from. I have a suspicion. But they were closed at that time. And I'm like, I'm going to go right in the door and tell them this is, like, unnecessary, like, harmful. Anyway, so I ended up bringing it home. And the light's still blinking. Like, I've had it for about two and a half days now, and the light's is still sitting at my house blinking. But the thing is, so, like, these like button cell batteries, like lithium's like a precious metal, right? Like you can't, and then it's not, it's like button cell batteries and rechargeable batteries and that kind of, you know, lithium stuff that's supposed to go with hazardous waste and all that, and they're just like putting these out as a drink container. What do you think I should do? You're an organizer. Go to Boston on September 20th. Go to the State House and say, okay, we got to stop single-use plastics.
Yes.
One of my coworkers said that the plastics industry says that plastic production is scheduled to double within the next, I don't know, 15, 20, or 30 years.
You know what you could do? You could bring a proposal to the Northampton City Council and try to ban single-use plastic in Northampton.
Absolutely. I mean, they did it with plastic bags, so surely we can do it with plastic cups, right?
Yeah.
Oh, here's another consumer statistic. This is put out by the Story of Stuff, which is that around, so of the resources that are extracted from the earth to make the things that we like to buy and sometimes use and often throw away. Oh, wait. So like 90% of the resources extracted from the earth for consumer products, 90% is thrown away within 6 months. And I can tell you, as a trash hauler, I see the boxes, the packaging come in, and, you know, label of what's inside. And very often, within 6 months, I see the thing that was inside in the trash. Anyway. Yeah, so pedal people, in terms of the local climate strike things, we're actually having a meeting this evening, a few of us, to see if there's a way that we can encourage our customers to do a consumer strike, a trash strike, to try and reduce trash or not make trash for a day, a week, a lifetime. we'll see what we can come up with. We'll try and come up with something positive and encouraging and not just the snide comments that you hear on out there by your tired old trash holler. All right. What else? Well, as long as I'm talking, I'll keep on talking. One other thing, here's this quote that I like, and this ties into trash and all too. My housemate Alex Jarrett said he read this recently. The three-word quote that says, "Rushing is violence." I'll ask you if you have any thoughts on that, but I'll just share my thoughts. So I see that. I was thinking about that today when I was hauling trash, and it was pretty obvious, it was end of August, someone was moving, and so they cleaned out their fridge and their pantry and many things in the house. And all this stuff ends up in the trash, and I'm assuming because it takes a lot of time to deal with stuff, and you just don't have time. You know, you got to be out of this apartment now and into that apartment now, and so yeah, a lot of things I think end up in the trash because people just don't have the time to deal with it. So that's one way that I see rushing as violence. Good.
I just thought of when you said rushing is violence. It made me think of, yeah, consumerism in America, because I've been thinking a lot recently about what I can do to help the climate crisis, but also about how American society is contributing to the climate crisis. And I think one of those things is like this cultural idea that when you want something, you should and can get it.
Mm-hmm.
Just always. For so many people, it's just so easy. Like, if I wanted, like, a bottle of water, like, I could go buy one. Like, I could get in my car, I could drive somewhere, and I could go buy myself a bottle of water. And instead, like, I could just, like, go to my faucet and get it. Okay, wait, that's a bad example.
No, no, it's great. I mean, I think this idea that we think we should be able to do anything that we have the money for.
Or also the idea, like, if I want something right now, I have to have it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, that's the rushing part. Right. Like, I feel like I need to have everything right now or it's never going to happen. Or, like, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's, yeah, that's right on. That's right on. Yeah, there's a lot there. I'm thinking about online shopping now, too, and, like, how, you know, these online shopping sites will rush something to your door regardless of how much, what the pollution is or how, what the, well, the workers in the warehouse have to go through to kill themselves to get that thing in that box on that truck to your door.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I also think about rushing as violence. So, okay, so when so when we were meeting at the studio today, me and Kala, she was meeting me here at 3:45, and I got here at like 3:42, and I came into the studio, and I reached into my bag to pull out my thumb drive, and it wasn't there, and I was like, wait a minute, I know I just pulled this off my shelf, but it's not here. It's not here. Where is it? I need it. And so then I was like, well, I guess I got to go back home and get it. Fortunately, I saw Kala getting dropped off or coming here. So I was like, oh, I'll be back in 10 minutes. So I was riding as fast as I could because it was like 3:45 and I needed to be here for the show at 4:00. And as I was riding through Florence and back to my house, I was like, rushing is violence, rushing is violence, rushing is violence. I'm moving fast, but I'm not rushing. Because when I rush, like, sometimes I'm late for things, you know, things happen. You have too many conversations that are important to have, and the next thing you know, you're late for something. And so I was thinking about how, like, when I'm late, then it's like me first. I have this me first attitude. Like, when I'm on the street, the whole, like, rush hour thing, people are rushing, and it's like me first. Because the thing I'm late for is more important than whatever someone else is late for. Anyway. I'm going to try to not rush. Thanks, Alex, for reminding me that rushing is violence. I'm going to play another song. Oh, yeah. Here. A chilled out song from Protégé and Chronix.
And it's a Protégé, eh?
Yeah.
Chronix are where you say, eh?
Yeah. Suppose I'm pleased to be chilling in the West Indies. Jah provide all my wants and needs. I got the sunshine, rivers and trees.
When me see Jah, me see a way. Drastically straight from hypocrisy, I say, hey. Every man to them own a philosophy. I live the proper way and then me read a chapter daily. Monday in a city hungry and no eat. And food they down a country does a drop off of the tree then. You see say poverty no real then. Is what the reasoning revealing.
To my friends and foes, and I suppose I'm pleased to be chilling in the West Indies. I provide all my wants and needs. I got
got the sunshine, rivers and trees, green leaves, yeah.
When the rain hit up a tonny roof, herb just a steam, pepper pot, tonny stew. Life is a dream if you got gratitude, so go tell the regime them can't stop what we do now. Information you think on your own, or else you're a slave to the things that you know. What do you know if you learn every day? So be careful of things where you say.
Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? I just go where the chafing blows, sending love to my friends and foes.
Hello.
And I suppose,
hello,
I'm pleased to be chilling in the West Indies. God provide all my wants and needs. I got the sunshine, rivers and trees, green leaves.
Africa in our soul, but a Jah in our heart. It is of importance for I and I gather. If we cannot show now a balance that we had, how do we propose then to carry it abroad? Then I go to Ethiopia and you not have a plan. The building of a nation and a helper on. Every one a lover, one a man is just a man. It shall be a coronation when we land, land, land.
Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? I just go as a traping blow. Sending love to my friends and foes. And I suppose,
hello,
I'm pleased to be chilling in the West Indies.
To
provide all my wants and needs. I got the sunshine, rivers and trees, green leaves, well.
And I say we just
who knows,
up.
Who knows?
Yeah, man.
Who knows, babe?
We just move,
oh,
with joy every time.
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm Ruthie Woodring. Out There airs every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. I don't think anyone thinks it's a.m. right now. Followed by Democracy Now! Up at 5 o'clock. I've been talking today. My guest in the studio is Kala Garrido, a sophomore at Hampshire Regional High School and an organizer of the September 20th Boston Climate Strike and a Sunrise Northampton representative. And one of the things we were talking about during the song was about how climate change disproportionately affects people of color and marginalized communities. Can you say a little bit more about that, Kala?
Sure. People of color have been shown to having disproportionate amounts of respiratory conditions like asthma and cancers thanks to pollution in their areas where they live, because fossil fuel industries target those with the least political power to stop them. Therefore, mainly communities of color, mm-hmm, specifically Black communities, and
also like Native communities,
yes,
and like nuclear dumps and all that,
and they like building pipelines, building, right, different like compressor stations, like things that spew carcinogens into the air and are often very loud too,
mm-hmm,
and in areas of like residential areas or near schools,
right,
but
yeah. Yeah. A few years ago, when there was a big effort to stop the pipeline, the Kinder Morgan pipeline through Massachusetts, I was involved with that a little bit, and it was successful. But at the same time, during that campaign, like part of me, I mean, it was so inspiring, exciting that the people's voice was heard. But at the same time, I found myself thinking, yeah, there's a lot of privilege in Western Mass being used to fight this pipeline, and, you know, we're going to fight it off here, and then they'll send it through some neighborhood where they don't have the resources to fight it off. So I want to mention a few other things happening on September 20th. I'll ask Kala to say again in a minute the things going on in Boston for the climate strike that day. It's actually a global climate strike and week of action, September 20th to the 27th. But if you can't make it to Boston, there's going to be afternoon support rallies in Amherst and Northampton, and evening rallies in Northampton and Greenfield, and then a dance party. You can check out the Climate Action Now website for more information, or to sign up for buses. Also, so the buses that Sunrise is organizing, is it just for students to go on or for adults? Should the adults go through like Climate Action Now or what?
I think it's okay. So basically, the more funding we get, the more buses we can get, and then more potentially adults could go. Okay. So first come, first serve, but we'll give spots to youth over spots to adults. But if adults want, are at all interested, they should definitely fill out the form.
Okay.
Like, it's an interest form. Okay. So it's not like signing, like getting that spot 100%, but it's okay. An interest form. So okay. We can find out how many people want to go. And if I can give the link to that, yeah, that please. Is linktr.ee/BostonStrike. And from there, we have our website, our donation page, teacher support sign up, student ambassador sign up, and our Western Mass bus interest form.
Cool. And if people do like a web search on Sunrise Climate Strike, do you think they can find links? I should have looked this up while we were talking or something, or during the song, but I didn't.
If people look up...
If I can't remember all those little letters.
ClimateActionNow.org/Boston.
Yeah,
that's okay. Another option. Just Youth Climate Strike,
yeah.
September 20th, cool. Boston. Those words.
Yeah. There's also going to be an Extinction Rebellion action in Amherst on September 27th. I really like the idea of adults and youth going in the buses together. It's nice to have a mixed age group. Yeah. So at the beginning of the show, you talked about some of the things happening in Boston. Can you say a little bit more about the things that y'all have organized on that
yes.
day out there?
From 10 to 11:30, there'll be community events at Boston City Hall Plaza. There are art activities, partner organization, tabling, sign making, and a community mural / art wall. From 11:30 to 1, there's the main rally at City Hall Plaza with dancing, songs, bands, and slam poetry. From 1 to 1:30, there'll be a march to the Massachusetts State House. And from 1:30 to 2:30, there'll be an action at the Massachusetts State House.
And some of the requests or demands of the movement, Green New Deal?
Green New Deal, insisting that world leaders treat climate change like the crisis it is. Standing behind marginalized communities, striking because science says that we only have a few years left to reverse this damage that we've already done, and yeah. Green New Deal.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, you know, the thing that gets me that even if people refuse to accept climate change, it's still pretty obvious that pollutions like killing people with asthma and lung cancer and like the things that we're eating are killing us, and I see so many like health problems. The pollution that we're putting out is harming us, whether it's air pollution, water pollution, noise pollution, sound pollution, so many different ways.
And oh, by the way, if people want to know why September 20th, it's 3 days before the UN Climate Action Summit. So all this is directly influencing our leaders' decisions, because this is happening right before this Climate Action Summit where they'll be discussing it.
It didn't like Greta Thunberg get invited to speak there?
Greta Thunberg, I think so.
You know how she got there?
By boat. I wasn't sure she was even going to come to the U.S. because I was pretty sure she was not going to take a plane, and she did not. She took a boat on a 14-day journey across the ocean.
Cool.
Solar powered.
Wow. That's inspiring to me because, you know, I'm working on this project in Trinidad and thinking about my next trip to Trinidad. I've only been there once, but I'm going back in the fall, and I'm trying to figure out a way to boat. I'm going to look up findacrew.net and see if I can boat hitchhike that way, maybe. Hopefully Greta will be inspiring more of a travel by boat movement.
That'd be wonderful.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Because airplanes are, I don't know if you know any statistics off the top of your head about how polluting air travel is. Pretty crazy. So next week on Out There, next week will be September 11th, Wednesday. Out There airs every Wednesday. September 11th. Well, next week I'm going to have a live guest, if all goes as planned, Giselle Granger. So Giselle is the person who hosted me in Trinidad when I went back in the winter, a farmer, one of the two main farmers at one family farm in Moruga in Trinidad. And Giselle's coming to visit. Yes, she's flying. But I'm going down to New York on the bus to meet her. We'll come back on the bus together. But I'm very excited. She's coming to visit me for the week. And so she'll be the guest on my show next Wednesday. And if you got any questions for me or her, feel free to call in or email them to me ahead of time. Ruthie@pedalpeople.coop. I don't expect anyone to remember that. So if you're looking for it, what you should do is you should go to the Pedal People website and click on Bike Lab. And there you'll find the link to the Trinidad Bicycle Osmosis Project. Oh, and by the way, thanks to everyone who's donated to the project this week. We announced it, the Pedal People newsletter that goes out to our customers. We announced it earlier in the week, and I got a bunch more donations for the project. I'm planning on shipping a container load of bikes to Trinidad probably in the late winter, early spring for my partners down there. A container load means like 500 bikes, and I'm trying to partner with Bikes Not Bombs for that. Well, Democracy Now! Comes up at 5 o'clock. Oh, yeah. Also coming up this Saturday and every Saturday.
You want to learn to fix your bike? How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Vengan al Bike Lab de Northampton, el taller de bicicleta. Aprende a arreglar tu bicicleta y a divertirte.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue. They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is.
Wait, stop. There we go. Oh, yeah, and did I mention that I'm looking for bike donations, more donations for the Trinidad Project, and they can be dropped off at my house, that's 8 High Street in Florence, or at the Bike Lab, that's 12 Northern Avenue, anytime. I'm looking for bikes that work or are close to working. I cut a U-lock yesterday for my first time with a grinder. That was very exciting and rewarding. It was on someone's porch, and I was there with the person's permission. So I want to give one last thank you to Carla Garrido for coming in today. Thanks, Carla.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and I hope lots of people can go to the Boston Climate Strike on September 20th and support saving ourselves and all the youth who are organizing this, who are putting their life's energy into saving the rest of us. Any last words of wisdom?
Come to the Climate Strike, please, and thank you.
All right. This is Hung Up, Strung Up by Raspberry Jam. Thanks for turning me on, introducing me to this music, Carla.
Yeah, no problem.
Out of your mind, out of sight. strung out.